Hello, Mission Valley family. I'm related to you, whether you know it or not. My name's Kathy Galton, and I'm the founder and CEO of Heavenly Treasures. Shop of the Mission is our retail organization. And today I wanted to share with you about a book that I wrote during the COVID year. I had been taking a lot of notes and working on this piece. I didn't really know what it was going to turn out to be, but through a lot of help and several edits, I was able to put together a piece that I feel like God had called me to do because of all the different aspects of what had happened in my life and how he had turned those into his purpose. So can we just pray for a second, and then I'll get started. Dear Father, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you for this opportunity to share with my Mission Valley family. And Lord, I thank you so much for all you have done, and I especially thank you that I am a child of God. And I just pray that your voice would be heard today and not mine. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I guess I should say next slide. So the book that I'm talking about is this one here. And I came up with the name Repurpose because I felt like God had a plan for me early in life. And it turned out that, can we go to the next slide? When I was, the picture on your left is a picture of me and my sister. And we had a brother too, but for some reason he didn't make the photos. Anyway, I guess he wasn't born yet. So I'm about 4 years old there. And my repurpose story starts when I was four. And my mom and dad were church planters of the church in Anaheim. We have a sister church in Anaheim. And my dad was visiting a war hero at the Veterans Hospital along the 5 freeway. And he was there for a really long time. And I remember him coming back to the car, and my mom was just really livid because we'd been sitting there waiting for him to come back. And so we're driving down the 5 freeway, and I was eating an apple. I always have to have my snacks. And so I was eating an apple, and they told me to roll the window down and throw the apple core out the window because in those days, littering wasn't an issue, apparently. So I guess all the cars would run over the apple or something or the core. And so I proceeded to open the door, and I opened the door, not the window. And I fell out of the car. And the car was going about 50 miles an hour. And my dad says he remembers seeing me in the rearview mirror sitting on the ground. And he stopped the car because I had fallen out of the car. And I just remember bouncing along the freeway and just seeing wheels going past me. And that's the only thing I really remember of being 4 years old. And I had fallen out of the car. And they came and they got me and they took me to the hospital. And I just remember being there under observation, and basically nothing really happened to me. I was just bruised and battered on my behind. And so they kept me there overnight. And I just remember just having fights with the nurses because they wanted to take rectal temperatures, which is really gross. So anyway, that's the beginning of my story, because my grandfather, who was the pastor of a church, of the Anaheim church, had come over and visited, and he said that God had a purpose for my life. That's why I was saved. And I just remember falling out of the car and him telling me that I had a purpose for my life. And so that was something that I had to carry around with me for quite some time. And I just grew up, and in the middle picture there, I'm about 12 years old and pretty unattractive Japanese-American large girl. That's my sister there. She's only 2 years younger than me, but I was really huge. And so I was like really feeling horrible because I was so ugly. I just was overweight and really big, and I just had a really hard time getting along with my mom. And the thing about it was that, you know, I just would have these fits of sorrow, just crying that why did God make me so ugly? And my mom wasn't a feelings person at all, but she did say to me, "You have nice lips." And I went like, okay. Well, I mean, that didn't really mean a lot. And so I carried that with me for a long time, that I had nice lips. And so I kept growing and developing and fighting with my mom, having a lot of issues with her. And I get to like age 17. And my sister and I are just driving around. She said, "Let's go to Long's Drugstore." So we went over there. I drove her over there. And she goes in and she buys these pairs of false eyelashes. And we go to the car. And she goes, "Here, I think you would really look good with these on." So I put these eyelashes on. And whoa, it just totally changed my appearance. I went from this really kind of homely person to like there was some dimension to me. I just looked better. And that was how I got started wearing eyelashes. I still wear eyelashes today. I think I'm celebrating my 57th or 55th anniversary of wearing eyelashes. But it really changed my look, and it actually changed my life to some degree. And so, you know, here I am at 19 and standing in a kimono in front of the China shop at Japanese Village in Deer Park. And I had, by that time, finally went on a date when I was 17 years old after I had my eyelashes. And I was able to, like, I went to college and I got this job at Japanese Village in Deer Park. Have any of you heard of Japanese Village in Deer Park? Oh, you have. Okay, good. You're old people. So Japanese Village in Deer Park was a place where they had deer, and they just, you know, they was an amusement park, basically. And so I was hired for the gift shop. And I was really disappointed because I didn't want to work in the gift shop. I wanted to work in the deer field. And but God had a different idea for me. He had saved me when I was like 9 years old, and I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. And so I really would seek him for, like, to just pray to him and ask him for answers to my issues. And you know what? So I went and I started working in the gift shop, and I discovered I had the gift of shopping. Now, I always love shopping, but the gift of shopping is where you could use your gift to make money and to advance yourself in your job. And so I was trained to be a buyer. And that was just an amazing, amazing time. And so in looking at back, I would really cling to some Bible verses. And the next slide, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a purpose," Jeremiah 29:11. And that was a verse that I clung to because I felt like there was something that God wanted me to do. And because my And my grandfather would repeat about having a purpose, that he made me to have a purpose. And so I found that I thought my purpose was to be a buyer. And it turned out that I had a fabulous career. I even ended leaving college and getting promoted to be the director of merchandising of Japanese Village Deer Park. And that was just amazing, because all the other managers and directors, they were all fired. They weren't any good. They weren't making any money for the company. And I learned that I had the gift of making money and of buying merchandise and of just really thriving in that kind of scenario. And you know, it was just, I really thank God that I had this opportunity, because I really didn't know really where I was going. In my college, I was studying social psychology, and I was thought maybe I could be a probation officer or something like that. But I don't think that was a very good fit for me, and God knew better. And so as he led me down this path, I was really following him. And then something happened, and my grandfather passed away. He committed suicide. And it was really a huge, huge disappointment to our family. And it was really devastating to the whole community. And I just didn't know what to think of the church, because he was a pastor and he was so desperate, he took his own life. And so at that point, I really kind of turned away from God. And it was really difficult on my family. My family that was my grandfather's family, that were my aunts and uncles that had helped build the church up and go pick up kids from Sunday school and take them to church and take them home, and you know, were the Sunday school teachers and did all the bookkeeping and did everything. They just fell away from God, because they just couldn't understand the situation with my grandfather. And so, you know, I just kind of went on my merry way, and I felt like I didn't need the church if I had God. And so I just had my own relationship with God, and he seemed to bless me. He seemed to bless me through the building of my career. And about that same time, I was still going to college, and I went on a trip to I think the next slide shows the World Campus Afloat. It's a boat that takes you around the world, and you go to college, and you went to 14 ports, so you went completely around the world. And it was like $3,000, which was a lot of money then. And I really wanted to go on that ship. And so my mom had said, well, if God wants you to go, he'll provide a way. And I said, God wants me to go, and I'm going. And so I sold my car, we took out some loans, and I went on the ship. And on that ship, I met Gary Galton, and I met him the first day of the ship, and he came over to me, and he just said, oh, hi, I'm Gary from Arcadia. And I said, oh, that's nice. I didn't know what Arcadia was, and little did I know I was going to be living there at some point. But I said, oh, that's nice. I didn't know what the meaning was of why he was saying he was Gary from Arcadia. But I guess he was just trying to, like, drum up a conversation with me. And so we got to be friends. And about halfway through the trip, which was 2 months into the trip, he asked me to go on a date with him. And so I went, and it was really crazy, because he was just like a friend. I mean, I wasn't attracted to him at all. He was kind of like almost bald, and it was just, he was just like, you know, just a friend. You know, I was in the friend zone with him. And, you know, so, and I thought, you know, what, there's no reason, you know. So anyway, so I went on a date with him. And after the second date, well, we were in Ceylon, we went to this place called Kandy. We were coming home on the bus, and he started to kiss me. And oh my gosh, what electricity there was. There was just this chemistry that was just incredible. And I was so surprised. And so like a couple weeks later, we were in Kenya, and he went on a safari with his friends, and I stayed back with my friend Judy. And he asked me to marry him when he got back. And I just said, no, I can't marry you. We're on a ship, you know. It's like shipboard romance, you know, kind of thing. And so then he asked me again the next day, and I said yes. And that was like, you couldn't take back that yes. It was like really scary. And all the people on the boat were like, oh man, this is not going to work, you know. Especially the girls, they didn't like Gary because they thought he was arrogant or something. I don't know. So anyway, we ended up getting married, and we went around the world. We did a lot of different things. This is the Hofbräu House in Germany that we visited after we were married, and we really lived a pretty fun life. We had so much fun that we were going to church, and then we ended up quitting going to church. And I was just really far from God. And then, but, you know, the good news, I'll just run to the end. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary. That really makes me super old. I know I'm grandma and everything, you know, but I don't feel like, I feel like I'm still, like, on the boat. So anyway, I decided that I was working, and I was working so much that I was getting burnt out. But I was working towards becoming general manager of this group called Six Flags. And it turned out that they had several interviews with different people, and they told me that I was being interviewed. I said, could I interview? And they said, no, you can't interview. And I was 8 months pregnant with Christina. And so I thought that's kind of weird that they're not going to let me interview. And so anyway, they didn't choose me. And this is the third time around that I was being considered. And I was really kind of guaranteed by the president of the company that they wanted to make me the first female general manager. And so my heart was broken. I was bummed. And I was really pretty far from the Lord. And so the thing that I remember is that I decided to leave the job. It took me 6 months until I could leave, and so I ended up leaving. And it turned out that I was just like at home, and my heart had been broken, and I was exhausted. I had had Christina, and I just didn't know what I was going to do with myself. So I started going to BSF, and BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, you know what that is. We were studying the book of Genesis, and I really, really was touched by the teaching and the love that people had for the Bible. And all of a sudden, I had this voracious love for the Bible. And I would go to the Anaheim church and sit there by myself. Gary wasn't going. And I would just cry through every worship set. I was like, my heart was being broken. And I didn't know what was going on. And the one verse that I can really relate to is on the screen is, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and put a new spirit in you. I will remove for you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26. And I really could relate to that. I had had a heart of stone, and I had a heart of stone against the church because of my grandfather's death. I had a heart of stone because I just felt like the people in church were just hypocrites. But when I came back to the church, they just loved me. They just loved me. They were just like you were today. You know, you shared your life with me. And it was just an incredible experience. And so through that experience, I feel like I was born again. And that was like, I was like age 32. I was like 32 years old. And I had always claimed that I was a Christian. But somehow I had missed the whole thing about God loving me. And God loving me through all my challenges and all the things that happened to me in my life. I can't even begin to tell you all the different things that had taken place up to that point. But God took everything that was in me that was wrong, that was sinful, and he washed it away. And it was an amazing, amazing experience to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, I really didn't know. I thought, gosh, I wish I knew about this love of Jesus Christ so much earlier in my life. My life would have been so much easier. But I knew it then. And I knew that God was in me. He was gonna give me a purpose, even though I wasn't working. Gary and I had some sort of defunct company that we were organizing and working at with Sears Roebuck. But then all of a sudden, I felt like I need a Christian husband because my husband wasn't a Christian. And I felt like, oh, I can't judge him that he's not a Christian. But from every way that I looked at it, he really wasn't saved. And he really didn't have the love of Jesus Christ in him. And so I prayed for him, but I also prayed that God would give me another husband that was like more of a believer. And so I thought, that wasn't a very good prayer to make. I mean, that was like, okay. Okay, so anyway, about a year later, we were on a trip to Lake Tahoe, and Gary's family was there, and his sister and brother-in-law were born-again Christians, and they were charismatic. You know, they really believe in the Holy Spirit and all this gifts of the Spirit and everything. And one of the things that they did is they did a affirmation. So where they go around and every person would affirm you. And so Gary's turn came and everyone affirmed him. And something happened in him that was indescribable. And so we left the next day, and his sister decided to drive home with us in our car. And she led him to Jesus Christ. And that was the beginning of a whole nother season of our lives, because Gary became a born-again Christian in that car. He accepted Jesus Christ, put down all the things that he had been holding, his pride, his issues, and he asked for forgiveness, and he became a born-again Christian. And so, wow, the next step is that he wanted to become a pastor. And we're going, oh no, he can't become a pastor. I did not sign up to marry a pastor. You know, because of the issues that we had with my father and my grandfather and all of this, it was just, no, 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 you cannot be a pastor. People are so mean, you cannot be a pastor. And so then he came back the next day and he stood in our garage and looked at me and he said, Kathy, I believe God's calling me to be a full-time pastor. And I looked at him and he had this aura around his head. It was like some halo. And I went like, oh no, oh no, oh no. Because I had told the Lord that I would do anything he wanted me to do with my life. And so that's a whole nother story. He became a pastor. Actually, he became pastor of this church. And anyway, I went back to work. And so then I had been out of work for 6 years, and I had another baby, David. And so we had three children, and it was just like crazy time. And we then just started working like crazy. So the next slide I have is just a picture of me working at a booth at the gift show. And that's what I did, is I went around and I purchased product for Knott's Berry Farm. And I just really just was a super buyer. That's what I did. And I had so much fun doing it. And you know, it was really, really fun for about 10 years. And I just was really feeling that God was calling me to a bigger venue than Knott's Berry Farm, because there's 35 acres over there. And there's only so much you can do there. And so one day I got a phone call from a headhunter that called me to go for an interview for a company called DFS, Duty Free Shoppers. And so I went to that and I ended up getting hired, and it was a global luxury merchandising company. And so they were all in airports. And so I got this fabulous new job. And then you know what? The next thing I knew is that I had already volunteered to go on a short-term team to Tanzania and Kenya for our church. Gary was pastor of a church in Glendale, California. And so I went on this team, and God broke my heart for the poor. And through that experience, he changed me from the inside out. And I hadn't started my new job yet, because I told him I couldn't start working until I went on this trip to Kenya, to Tanzania. And so they finally rescinded and said, okay, you can go. And so this is a picture of me jumping with the Maasai. And I look happy there, but really that was the first time that God just broke my heart, and I was just aching for the mamas that were sitting around in a circle in this mud dung village that they had made, and they were selling jewelry, and the kids were just, they had distended bellies and they were sick, and it was terrible. And so, you know, God really used me. Use my experiences, and I had asked him, please, 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 show me what you want me to do. And he told me that he wanted me to do something. And that was the beginning of Heavenly Treasures, because I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And through many different steps, Heavenly Treasures was born. And I was able to use my gifts in buying and resourcing and program development and importing and all these different things to do the Heavenly Treasures ministry. And so today I just want to just thank God for these faces where we say every product represents a changed life, that every life that we touch is changed because of you. And God gave me two things he wanted me to do. One was to reinvest all the monies back into the ministry and into the projects of the artisans that we sold their product. And two, not to just raise money, or that he would bring people beside us to make donations to run the organization. And I was deathly afraid. And I knew that he wanted me to do those two things. And so I just want to report to you today that we have been able, my goal was to raise $25,000 in a year. I thought, if we could raise $25,000 in a year, that would be fabulous. And so up until just recently, we did an evaluation. And over the 23 years, we've been able to raise over $15 million to help the poor in these developing countries. And every penny has gone towards that, whether it be our salaries or the retail space or the money reinvested in product. And, you know, it's like we've reached out to 20 countries, and they're not all active today because of COVID, but we have six that we have really focused on that have the most amount of artisans. And so we have over 2,000 artisans that we're working with today. And these are some of the faces. We were just in Guatemala and Kenya. We just got back, and I was really surprised that Christina wanted to go, but I said, if you're going, I'm going. And we went on these power shopping trips where we just bought whatever was made. And it was crazy time, and we're still getting over our jet lag. But, you know, the reason I tell you this story is because I'm a normal, regular person, and probably more ungifted than you are. I didn't graduate from college. I'm really not that special. I'm not special at all. I'm special in God's eyes. But, you know, whether you have an idea on your mind of what God wants you to do, the first thing you have to do is give him all you are. And the thing is that he wants you just as you are. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, I urge you to ask him to come into your heart and to take over your life. And if you're just in a grind every day, just take some time out and ask him to give you direction, and he will. He makes it so clear. He made it so clear for me. And maybe yours isn't going to be building a global ministry, but yours is going to be something that's going to impact the world in a way that the world has never seen yet. And only you can do what you can do in your situation. And so I wanted to challenge you with that. And then secondly, to find out what your purpose is. And can we read this together? The first verse. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And that's found in Romans. And, you know, the key there is to love him and to know that he loves you and that he wants to use you in a mighty way. And it may not seem mighty to you at the moment. It doesn't seem mighty to me at the moment. It seems like it's been a long, long journey. But God wants to use us wherever we are and whatever gifts that he's given you. And he's given you specific gifts. And so the first key thing is to really know God and to love him and to let him take your life and reshape it and repurpose it. And if you're ready there, hallelujah. I want you to reach out to someone else who doesn't know their purpose and to really help them out. And then the last verse, let's share this together. Show me your ways, O Lord. Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my Savior and my hope is in you all day long. Psalm 25:45. I just love that verse. Because if we just say those words and pray those to God, that he will show you your path. So thank you for letting me share. There's a lot of stories in this book, and there's a lot of pictures. There's over 100 pictures, and I've been told it's a fast read. But if you read it through, and I think God will touch your heart in a way that it's never been touched before. And one of the things that I hope it doesn't come out like I had one of our people at Orange Coast Rise OC say that they felt like they hadn't done anything with their life after they read my book. But you know what? If you really think about it and you write down the things that God has done in your life, you'll be surprised at how much God has done for you. And you know, there's a lot of stories that I led up to and I didn't finish the ending, but there are endings to those stories. And so today I just want to invite you to, we have a booth outside on the, in the patio. And we would love for you to shop there because every product represents a changed life. Every person, guys included, we would love for you to at least buy one thing. And if the Lord leads you to give to our ministry, we love that. And if you give to the church has been very generous to Heavenly Treasures. And so we thank you very much. And then on Saturday, November 6th, we're reopening our store after a year and a half being closed. And we're excited about it. And come on over because we have a taco truck. Who doesn't like free food? Who doesn't like free food? And I'm told it's safe. It's safe food. And so come on over between 12 and 2 and you get a free taco or two. So I just want to thank you for your time and thank you for listening and being such a good audience. And you know what? Just if you have anything you'd like to share with me later, I'll be around. And so thank you.